The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Meditation doesn't have to be a solo practice. Meditation is more fun with friends. Looking for a way to drop in and hang out at the same time? Join us online at Omega Institute for a meditation party with self-proclaimed meditation nerds Dan Harris, host of the 10% Happier podcast, Sebene Selassie, and Jeff Warren. This three-day retreat will stream live from Omega's Hudson Valley campus May 17th to 19th. Don't miss the party. Reserve your spot at eomega.org/party today.
Hello and welcome to the Radiate Wellness Podcast with your host, metaphysician, Reiki master, and hypnotherapist, Christy Clemens Hoffman. Each week, we will discover teachings, tips, and tools to radiate your best life ever with practitioners, authors, and luminaries to help you on your path. Wellness, joy, peace, abundance. What do you want to radiate?
Hello, and welcome back to the Radiate Wellness Podcast. Today, we radiate connection to technology with Mathieu Francois, who is an expert on digital overload and how to declutter our lives from technology. Hello, Mathieu. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Christy. It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting us.
Are you in Paris today?
Yes, I am. I just got back after a little trip in California, and I'm just back here to see some family.
Oh, wonderful. I just got back from Paris not too long ago. So this technology landscape that we're in right now, this is a bit much, isn't it? Tell me about the work that you do with reducing this digital overload and helping people to acclimate to their technology.
Well, as you say, just to get back onto your words, it's the technology that surrounds us is asking for a lot of our attention. It's kind of how it is built into our lives now. All notifications, the beeps, the light on your phone, the little ones and twos, every time you get an email, all of these things, including your Instagram, your notification, all of that is geared to catch your attention, right? And that is something when you try to live a mindful life that can be quite, let's say, overwhelming. At least for me, it was. And so I tend to be somebody who doesn't let these things push me down. And so what I do is I ask myself, how can we use these things to do the opposite effect? We always say and talk about these things negatively, but I don't think it has to be negative if we have the right intentions with them. So the idea for us was to integrate our intentions into how do we use that technology for our best. So of course, there's several ways we can do that, right? Let's look at how I dealt with just my ringtones. Used to be a time where my ringtone used to give me anxiety. I mean, hello, you hear everybody's ringtones here. It means work. It means somebody's trying to reach you. There is this pressing idea of it that you have to answer it now. And I thought, what if I changed my ringtone to something a lot more peaceful to start with, right? So that already helped a little bit, but then there's a lot of other things that I've gone through. My alarm in the morning, that's the first thing you listen to, right? Okay. And it can really freak you out for the whole day. And then you don't know why you're stressed. And then on top of that, you add coffee, et cetera, as you're getting overly excited with all these things, right? So it's identifying the things that have an impact on you, your ringtone, the brightness on your screen. That's very important, especially if you're looking at your screen at night. Even if it's to check out your beautiful profile and your podcast, you want to make sure that the brightness goes down because it has an impact on your retina and your nervous system. The things that you read, all of these little things, I know I'm getting all over the place right now, but just thinking about it can be overwhelming, right?
It all adds up, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And if you look at social media, I was following, like most people, whatever people I would meet and the kind of work that I was in, et cetera, et cetera. And it wasn't really feeding my holistic healing path. Quite the opposite. It was making me feel disempowered or comparing myself and just thinking that, oh, I'm not doing enough. So what can I do with this? Instead of just calling it bad, what can I do with it? Again, same thinking as I did with the alarms in the morning or my ringtones. So what can we do with this? Well, start following things that actually go for and in the direction that you're setting up for yourself. That's what I meant by intention. What is our intention? My intention is to feel more at peace. Great. Find something that's going to, okay, maybe it's going to beep you up every 10 minutes like it does anyhow, but choose what you're being beeped at for, at least, right? What are you being beeped for? Okay, you're being beeped because Christy has released something very powerful and interesting about how to heal yourself. That's fine. That's a way to steer yourself in a direction. When you hear people talking about this digital overload, they kind of try to tell you, you need to cut it out completely, and that's it. I do think there's space for that, and it should be part of our path to learn how to be able to check out. But if you cannot, because you're starting your journey or because you're working on these platforms, then there's all these little ways that we can go about it.
Yes, because this seems to be, it's so pervasive. Well, I'm talking to you from a laptop. We've got our devices, our phones, we've got our iPads, we've got our Kindles or readers, and then we've got our laptops and other electronic devices. It's just everywhere. And then you're talking about being in a restaurant or in a public place. Everyone's got their ringtones and their beeps and their screens and everywhere all at once. So how do we know when we are at that overload point? That point where it's starting to affect us negatively.
If I can say for my part, when I realized that I was being taken by it, it's when I realized that my fingers would go on and respond to a certain sound. And by itself, I had an automatism to just click on something and find something. And I would be focused on my work, but my phone would ring or it would vibrate. And then I had this response that was not chosen by my conscious self. It was unconscious response. That's when you know that there's a little bit of things going on here and that you should potentially look into it. That's how I saw it for myself. Maybe for you, it shows up differently. For instance, some people have this issue with the waves. Have you ever heard this? That people have Wi-Fi poisoning?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so it's Wi-Fi. It's the antennas, the phone antennas. I forgot how those are called in English, the types of waves in English. That's kind of unfortunate. But some people have this awareness and this intensity of all of these things that are going through us. So when you talk about being at a cafe, for instance, and you have someone with their phone, someone with this, someone with that, what is essentially happening? People are sending and downloading information through these devices that not only are ringing, are showing this, are vibrating, but they're sending this through the air, through these waves, which go through us. So it's not only the device itself, but it's the quality of the information that goes through the air, that goes through us. So for someone who's very intuitive like you might, for you, a digital overload may be differently than for someone else who might be more affected through their body in terms of their sensations or their physical responses to sounds or to notifications. You understand?
So yes, there's the
So,
electromagnetic waves. We call them EMFs. There's the 5G technology. A lot of people are up
correct.
about that and the 5G transmissions. I'm not sure. I'm not a physicist like that. But
Yeah.
yes, all of these electromagnetic frequencies that are going through us at any given time, that we are very much affected by that. You know, and about the ringtones, I remember even just in the analog days when we had the phones with cords on them, the phone would ring. It's, oh my gosh, who's calling me? It's 10 o'clock at night. Who's calling me? And there being that anxiety even over that technology.
Of course. Well, if you wanted to think about that a little bit deeper, do you remember this documentary about Cambridge Analytica?
Yes, but remind me, is this with the voting machines?
It was not just about the voting machine, but it was about the impact of social media and misinformation on elections and how they're utilizing the social platforms. And these social platforms are designed by people in the Silicon Valley. I'm not spitting on them at all. Opposite, I like them very much, but it was their technology was misused for a negative impact, right? So what they found out is that a certain kind of a light or a certain kind of a color of notification bubble that you have above your apps create what you just described with your analog experience of who's calling at that time, right? Oh my God, there's a red one above my app. Who's sending me an email? Who just posted a photo? Who just answered? Who just liked my thing? who important just said this? You know, depending on which platform you're talking about, if it's Twitter, maybe you're following some politicians, etc. So that was kind of a big parenthesis what this Cambridge Analytica documentary was about. There's a whole study about how to call out people and act on their nervous system and their fear-based responses, because they were able to prove that we, as human beings, we are addicted to stress and fear. Let's say that if on the news you only had beautiful, happy stories, you wouldn't be so addicted to the news, right? Well, it's kind of the same idea with your social media. If your social media didn't trigger that response, that up, 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 then you wouldn't be so interested in it. And so what I advocate for in a way is that, okay, let's use that technology. It's there. It can be demonized if we want to, but it can also be used. Okay, well, if it's going to trigger some stress up, then fine, you're addicted to stress, but let's make sure that when you open it, you find something that's going to help you do the exact opposite. You know, it's this idea of balance and harmony.
Yeah. Yeah. So say more about that. How can we achieve that balance and harmony with our social media, with our electronic devices?
I don't want to take too much of your time, but I would like to ask you a few simple favors. First of all, please rate, review, and share this podcast wherever you're listening. You know, it sounds like a simple little thing, and it is, but it has a huge impact for us because it helps other people find us in the podcasting algorithms. I don't know how it works, but I do know that it helps a lot. Next, if you would subscribe or follow wherever you're listening, whether that's YouTube or Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Pandora, Spotify, wherever you're listening, just hit subscribe or follow, and that helps you and it helps us. It helps you because then you receive notifications when we have a new episode that's out. It helps us because, again, algorithm magic, I don't know what happens. But it helps. And then finally, you can support our podcast in a tangible way by going to radiatewellnesscommunity.com/podcast and then click on support the show. Now, we have a new feature too. We are now on Patreon. You can find us on Patreon. You can also find the link to Patreon when you go to radiatewellnesscommunity.com/podcast. So on Patreon, for $3 a month or $5 a month, you can support your metaphysical and spiritual growth. You can learn about upcoming guests, and you can get early and ad-free versions of the shows. So please support us. This podcast is free for you to listen, but we have costs, and quite frankly, they come out of my pocket. So if you like this content, if you get a lot out of it, please see what you can do to give back. Thank you so much.
There's not a one-size-fits-all, but there's many different ways that we can go about it. As I already mentioned, think of already as your phone as a holistic place, right? You have your ringtones, you have your alarms, you have your vibrating part of your phone. You can change these settings to call you the way you like to be called. So find that intention. How do you want this to call you? Do you want this to call you in a softer manner? Okay, you choose these different settings, you choose these different ringtones, you choose these different things. You can turn off notifications for certain apps in your settings, right? You can turn them off, but maybe you still want them for a certain time during the day. So you can set that in also with your do not disturb after a certain hour. It can be set for certain days and certain times. So that is tools that the phone makers have given us to allow us to be more productive and also to give us some time away. These are the tools from your phones. And then for the social media, well, if I speak for myself, it was really to change what I chose to engage in on social media. And if it's for your work, it's one thing. Then I guess you just have to. But part of us also wants to do social things. We want entertainment. We want all of these things from our social platforms. So it's being more aware of what we are going to be buzzed for. I started unfollowing all these people who were maybe not aligning with what I wanted to see, but it was more of a stress response to what they were showing me, that what I maybe thought I wanted at the time or etc. And I started to follow all these philosophy platforms and accounts, which brought a lot more mindfulness and a lot more peace into my presence on social media.
Yes, yes. I call it curating our experience with social
media. Absolutely.
technology, right? And I think that too many people look at their phones and just say, well, this is how it is, where we can actually go in and customize every bit of the experience, right?
Yeah.
Have
but
different.
It starts with the intention.
Yes.
It always starts with an intention. And it's what I say to people in the ceremonies and the retreats that I host is whatever experience you have set yourself to partake in, before you enter that experience, you want to have an intention. And that is the same thing when you take on your phone. As I said, it's such an automatism that we just grab it and open our computers, etc., that we don't really set our intentions. What am I going to do on my platform today, on this tool? What am I going to use this for today? Because it's all mixed together. You know, we've mixed our personal lives with our work lives, with our entertainment part, everything. We just put it all in a pot and we shake it. And then we're like, oh, this is stressful. Yes, it's stressful because we're not mindful and we're not intentional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it does start with, what do I want my experience to be? And that's not technology's fault.
No, it's not technology's fault. And that's exactly, thank you for that, because I hear way too much in the holistic spaces and the spaces that I enter that demonizing this technology that can be used for so much, if only we understand it, because it's only at our service. And if we as communities and as human beings, we decide together to put ourselves on platforms that serves us not only physically, financially, mentally, emotionally, and in communities, then we're just allowing somebody else's vision, which might be not your best interests. They might be selling you great tools, but their intention is to maximize your attention. So then you become the product. And if someone is maximizing your attention and is using you, your nervous system as their cash cow, if I can just call it that way, then you're really at their service. And it just takes work for us to first identify it. It always starts with that. The healing process is always identifying first and then observing while we're still caught up in these things. Your phone is still ringing. You're still stressed by your phone, but now you're aware. You brought awareness. And what can you do with that? Okay, you go step by step. Maybe some of you will want to do that, just cut cold turkey, and others will work progressively. And with that newer awareness of what this is doing to you, then you start making changes. That's all these steps.
Right. We have to be in control of our technology rather than our technology being in control of us, right?
Yeah. And we have to tell it what we want.
We do. Yes, we have to program it and tell it what we want.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly why I built this platform, the Adanima platform. For me, it was a process of reintegration. I was not doing what I'm doing now a few years ago. I was living a double life. I had my work life, which was an art dealer, and I had my personal life, which was a lot more sensitive and a lot more holistic. And I did not know how to reconcile these things. And luckily, when COVID happened, I didn't have the choice to keep my business. So I had to close it. And then I had to ask myself, how can I implement all these different parts of myself back into one thing, right? And so I was now hosting retreats publicly, which I was doing privately before. And meeting all these practitioners around me, I saw that everyone had the same issue. They were bad with their money. They were bad with organizing themselves, bad with marketing themselves, because it implied engaging with social media. It implied with engaging with different kind of tools, with different responsibility, technology, which were uncomfortable for many of them, including me. I had no idea how to use all these tools. And so that's when I decided to create that platform.
Yes. So let's go back a little bit. You mentioned the Adanima platform. Can you tell us what that is?
Yes. So first, let's talk about the name and the logo maybe. So I'm French-German. So I come from a Latin background, let's put it, although we're not seen as this way. So Adanima means add towards and anima, the soul. So anybody who listens to this podcast and has done some Latin at school would say, yeah, it's missing an M because it's supposed to be ad animam. Yes, we just remove the M because it sounds nicer, ad anima. And then we use the hexagon shape because it's this idea of harmony. The hexagonal shape in nature is the most harmonious shape there is. This is why beehives are like that. But it also is because it's the most efficient way to store liquids, right? But it's also represents healing and harmony, healing the heart. And so that was the intention for this. Okay, so now that we understand the name and the logo, the shapes for it, that platform is a way for us to reconnect to our multidimensionality. So any modalities, any holistic practitioners who needs a space to host their services, to host their events, will have a place there. It's a community for us through a technology that, yes, will send you notifications, of course, but with that intention. It's a marketplace, but it's much more than that. It's your support. It's a supportive community. We organize retreats. We organize events. And we want to make that connection between providers, practitioners to work together. Because most of the platforms that you see out there, including the big social media platforms who are now integrating scheduling and things like this, it's very segregating in a way. You're parting people to work on their own, to compete with each other. When really, at Adanima, that's not what we stand for. Of course, there's competition. There's healthy competition. But we want to allow people to work together. So in our technology, we built this intelligence that allows people to enter smart contracts when they want to collaborate on events or on services. If you want to create a certain kind of service in a certain place, you know, you will get a notification telling you, hey, Christy, somebody else is doing the same thing next door today. So maybe if you're doing it at a different time, you might be able to be more helpful to the community. We're incorporating this idea of harmony in this platform.
And I see that you've got all types of providers listed by location as well on this platform. So easy to find any type of practitioner that you would want.
Correct. Correct. And we just got available on the app stores between the week between Christmas and New Year. Yeah. And so we have opened it up to California for now, but it's worldwide. And we have just focus our effort with the US at the moment, with heartbeating being California for the moment. Yes.
Sure, sure. Yes, being on the App Store, that's huge. I know that takes a tremendous amount of work.
Yes, thank you so much. It's a baby, I like to say. You asked me before we started if Adanima was my website about me. I said, it's not about me. It's about people like me, like us.
It's hard to find holistic practitioners sometimes. It's very easy to find a dermatologist, a cardiologist, a gastroenterologist, but it's difficult to find things that we know we connect with even more so. So
absolutely,
one place to look for that.
You know, where I come from, I was born at the French-German border in France. And we in France have a quite large relationship with our medical system. People go to the doctor for everything, anything. It's reimbursed. It's most of it is free. So it's very democratized. But in that area, everybody who goes to their pharmacy and the doctors, they also secretly have holistic practitioners. And as you say, it's not so easy. Well, in Europe, there is a big stigma around these modalities, energy healing, Reiki, osteopath, all these Thai massage, all these things that can be angel therapy, quantum healing, etc. It's not very well welcome. And so it's very difficult to find these things here because the practitioners like us are hiding. They're hiding underground. I found that not to be the case in countries in South America. In America, obviously, we have space for it because it's a much more liberal space. But the whole idea with this platform is to get people out of the shadow, out in the open. Look, there's people out there who care about you, who want you. And if you're only on this, if you only show yourself, you will see that light will shine in that direction. And so I cannot wait for us to reach the European continent because it has, of course, there's an emotional element to that for me. Personally, my family, and the family history, but with the historical trauma that people have here around these modalities. You know, there was a witch hunt here when the Roman Empire invaded Europe. They killed 1.6 million people, and that people forget. These were my people, and they worked with plant medicines. They work with energy healings, and all that is lost, and there's shame around that. And I feel that even in America, there's still shame, a part of shame around doing what we do, because maybe somehow, somewhere, there is part of these cultures that are repressing our value. And it's all about value. And that's exactly why I started this platform also, because I needed to give and find myself and find where I could bring value to this community to a community that I belong, that I feel very close connection to, and that is so helpful and healing to so many. And there is so much more potential than what we're reaching out today. We're on the verge of something very big.
Well, I know that just here in the Midwest of the United States, at one time, all of these things were so underground. Like you said, you know, our own witch hunt here in the United States, but it's coming out more and more all the time. And I used to live in Geneva. And when I lived in Geneva about 30 years ago, there was nothing alternative that you could, I mean, there were a few, but you had to really know where they were, had to know people who knew people. Now it is so prevalent, actually, and even more so all the time, just in Geneva, which is a pretty conservative place to live, quite honestly. Paris is so much more than Geneva.
Yes. And,
you know, these things are coming out. Yes, now is the time to really make this exponential and grow it.
Yeah. You want to know something is, I think one of the reasons why it's really growing as well is, it may sound like something small, but to me, it's the biggest part of it. Let me tell you this. When you go to your doctor and you go for healing, he doesn't really ask you permission to heal you. He doesn't really ask you for your consent for his advice. And one of the most beautiful things that I've learned with Indigenous people in South America is that as a healer, whether you are a medical doctor or a holistic practitioner, there is a big difference there. When someone comes into a holistic practitioner, there's first of all that expectation they have to go through, that it is completely different from the medical doctor. And the holistic practitioner has that relationship with his client that it needs its permission. It needs the agreement. It's an energetic agreement that you need to have with the person to be able to help them. And so people are seeking that connection of this agreement. They want their power back. And it goes through all levels of society. You hear it with everything. People want their power back. I want to decide for myself. I want to own this. I want to decide, what can I do with myself? How can I move forward? How can I heal myself? How can I deal with the laws in my country, et cetera, et cetera. So when it comes to their health, and you're talking about Europe, Geneva, et cetera, it goes there too. I want to have that relationship with my healing. Somebody who deals with the holistic aspect of it, they understand that you need someone's consent. You cannot heal someone that doesn't want to be healed. And matter of fact, you're not actually healing them. They're healing themselves. You're just allowing them to heal themselves through your relationship. And so if there was one thing that I had to pinpoint that was the reason for this, would be that relationship, that agreement that we're making, that we want to make now more and more.
Yeah, yes, I agree. And being intentional and mindful about it, right? And seeking that out. Now, I'd like to switch gears a little bit, if I may, Matthew, is that we were talking about earlier sound healing and sound in terms of frequency, et cetera, before we started recording, we started talking about sound. Is that something that you are working with, is sound healing?
Absolutely. So I have myself a certification, but I don't practice. I like to work with sound healers in the experiences that we create, because sound is, as you know, as we know, and the people who are listening probably also, the oldest medicine known to men. In all the religions that you would possibly be able to read, it talks about how sound created the world and how essentially we're vibrating energy. So working with the vibrations is surely the best and the most transcendental way to work with our holistic health. We were talking about the technologies that we're using.
Yes.
And I made the distinction between the sound bowls and the instruments that are known to many generations before us. But today there is something that's happening with technology, that we are on the verge of something really, really, really incredible. With beamforming is part of it. It's when they're able to direct a sound wave to a very specific place in the space. Think of the Sphere in Las Vegas, for instance. I know it's a terrible example, but actually the technology is there. And that technology is allowing us to focus these vibrations exactly where we want it at scale. So just imagine the power that merging ancient traditions, sounds, knowledge about frequencies, certain instruments, how they can be played, melodies that we've used, chants that we used, and actually using our technology to amplify these powers, amplify this knowledge. And that's what I was kind of telling you before we turn on the recording. And that gets us really excited. And I was even more just in the Middle East, in a war zone, talking with people who are dealing with heavy traumas, and they're utilizing plant medicines such as a marijuana, and how our consciousness and body is reacting to sound when we work with marijuana, and the technology of the beamforming and stereo, different kind of devices to gear us to, in a conscious way, move us and push these emotions or blockage out of the body and move through it, which is exactly what people are doing in the holistic modalities, right? And I'm a huge advocate to incorporate technology as part of the holistic space. It belongs there.
Because technology is a tool. It's just a tool that we can use for so many different things. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that for me, holistic means technology too. It means social media. Yes. It means your ringtone too.
Now, when you were talking about the more the targeted, I don't remember the term that you used, but it's like targeted sound, targeted frequency.
It's beamforming.
Beamforming.
We call it beamforming because it forms a beam. And if you're very interested about this, one of the great example of the ways it can be used, it's in the Sphere in Las Vegas. They're showing you, it's great pride for them. They're showing you how you and I could be seated 5 feet away from each other and be listening to completely different sounds. Mm-hmm. Or different language movies without having to hear each other's experiences. And so it's available to us because of that technology, because we can target and we can decide where the sound goes instead of having it fill up the room in a different way, right? So imagine if you can say, okay, Christy has something in her right shoulder because you are energy intuitive and you know that there is some trapped energy there and you want to focus all that energy and sound there, you can. And you can do that. It's quite incredible. The world we're getting into, we're slowly moving from these medicine being medication and surgeries to doing surgeries with sound. And I'm not saying that I'm against surgeries. That's not what I'm saying, but hear me out. We're adding that as a component. We're upgrading our way to do medicine through the technology. And it's all about what the ancient traditions already knew. I made an interview recently about sacred places, temples, and how temples are really sound technologies.
Yes.
And I was just in this beautiful church here in Paris, which is built with sacred geometry. So this one is actually Église Saint-Eustache. It's in Léal. But what happens is when you are present in that space, the way sound travels in the space not only affects your body, but also the way travels away, takes your mind with it. If you follow it, if you focus on it, if you're meditating, when you're praying, etc. So these are our ancient technologies. We didn't invent that. But with the technology that we have today, incorporating these knowledge, we're going through an incredible time, and I'm so excited to be alive to see it.
Yeah, it is really quite impressive. Now, of course, it's a double-edged sword. There's the flip side of it, the Havana syndrome, I think it was called, where using sound technology to create illness and disease in military
assets. Absolutely.
So that can be used both ways.
Absolutely. Well, just to go back to the social media, and to your ringtones, when you have a sound that creates and induces stress in your body, you're actually acidifying your body. You're changing the pH of your body through your nervous system. And I'm not a doctor. I wouldn't be able to tell you exactly how it works. And I don't want to pretend to do that. But if you're interested in that, I suggest you look into it, because stress does change the pH of your body. There might be a process in between that I'm not citing, so don't quote me on that. But just know that it does happen that way. And
feel it in the body.
Mm-hmm.
With dissonant music, we can listen to music that the sounds are dissonant and there needs to be a resolution. Otherwise, it creates stress in the body.
Absolutely. And it's about harmonies. If you're interested, again, there is this great studies that are made between the 432 frequency and how they change the keys in making music. I think it was in the early 19th century, where they just decided to switch from 432 to
Yes.
What we have today, and which is not it's not in harmony with our bioprocesses and our biofields. And I found that very interesting because you can use all of these things, the music you listen to, the ringtone, even on here, the way we receive the audio information, what frequency is it on? How is it affecting our bodies? These are all questions we have to ask ourselves. And then once we make ourselves aware, what do we choose? And then that's when the change begins. There's no reason to be mad. There's no reason to be angry. The very reason why it's being used to hurt us, it's most likely to bring awareness to it so we can have a much more conscious relationship to it.
Now, I think that this is a technology that we are catching up to. It's like you said, it's been around forever. Harmony and frequency and music and sound has been around since we started creating sound. And I think that we're starting to catch up with this. Have you heard of the harmonic egg? Do you know this device?
Tell me more.
It's literally an egg shape. It's about as big as the couch that I'm sitting on. No, it's bigger than that. About as big as a car. You sit in it and it's in a way kind of spherical inside. And then there's light and sound in the form of music and tones. And you sit inside it and absorb these frequencies. And so we have one in Kansas City. I know there's one in Lausanne, Switzerland. There's some everywhere in every country or in every location corner around the world. So this type of technology, crystal bowls, and there's so many different things that are like this.
Absolutely. Well, there is a great way for us to help us be more aware. I'm saying this. Why am I saying this? Because as you say this, I had a thought. I can see people saying, yeah, it's beautiful, but how do I know how it affects my body? And okay, it's beautiful to hear this. And you guys are having a wonderful conversation, but what does it mean for me? Have you heard of the sensory deprivation tanks?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. We have one study.
Great. Well, that's kind of what this egg is making me think about, is for you to understand the way waves have impact on you is to remove yourself from it for a second so you can have that experience of when it comes back, where is it going? We're so used to being affected by these things that when we deprave ourselves from it, then that's where the information comes in. And I know why I'm saying this, but that's what you were bringing into me when you said that.
Which kind of reminds me of something that when talking, you were mentioning taking yourself out of that soundscape, taking yourself out of the frequency so that when the frequency comes in, you appreciate it more. I'm kind of paraphrasing, Matthew. I'm sorry. But you also work in setting up tech-free zones, helping people understand to detoxify from these things. Can you say just a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So thank you for the question, because we're getting very far away from the subject. So part of the platform, we organize event retreats, which one of them is called Mycelia Event, which is in Colombia this October. And it's in the Sierra Nevada, which is a mountain, a sacred mountain in the north of the state, which has, trust me, if you go there with your phone, you're not going to have any service. So there's no EMFs going on. And we are working with nature. Nature is the most beautiful way to disconnect from these technologies, right? So it's an immersion for 6 days in these spaces with fresh water, with foods grown on the land, away from the craziness of social media or the bustling cities, etc. So we create these spaces with bringing the indigenous people to collaborate and teach about their senses, about their connection to earth, that connection to their body, their emotional world, their mental world, their spiritual world. And that we can only do when we have a peace of mind from the technology. It takes us to actually step out of that world for a while, better reincorporate it later on, basically.
And this is wonderful. And this is, I think, something that you would agree. When we step outside, when we get into nature, we're in a completely different energy, a completely different frequency anyway, and can, I mean, maybe not here in the States, it's certainly not in Paris, we cannot step away from the EMFs and the 5G technology, et cetera, but at least step out of the pull of our devices and our technology directly. So yeah, it's wonderful to step into a place where there's no cell coverage, there's no Wi-Fi, there's no... Wonderful. But we don't have to go to that extreme too. We can set up these zones within our homes. We can go outside without our devices in our pockets. So, I mean, it's possible to do this on the daily, and sounds like we should at least a couple of times a day.
Absolutely. And there's many ways that we can do that. If you live in a house with a lot of people, your husband, your wife, your kids, there are these little pockets that are EMF blocking devices that you can actually put your phones in during a dinner, for instance. And once you close it, it won't ring. It won't vibrate because there's no connection to the internet. And so you can put this on the table, or if your friends are coming in over, you put this on the table, say, put your phone in this, close it, and then we're forced to have a conversation. But we have to agree that until the end of the dinner, no one's opening the box, right? So there's all of these little things that we can do that's a practical way, right? But if you're by yourself, it can be a little harder. I'm by myself a lot, and it takes work to put this away from me. And so I usually have to enter into a state of meditation and a ceremony. I call them ceremonies. It's really preparing the space. And what I do is I light up candles around and I make a circle around me in candles, and I leave my phone out in a different room. And then I will consciously choose to do some yoga or to read something, to gaze at the flames. And I use my senses for that. And it's really what I want to get into with this technology part, because technology and our phones use only a few senses. You can't smell Instagram. You can touch your phone, but you can't touch the pictures. You understand what I mean? What I like to work with is the senses. And this is during the retreats that we do. I usually tell people this beautiful quote from Oscar Wilde: nothing can cure the senses but the soul, just as nothing can cure the soul but the senses. So why am I saying this? Because you want to have some time to step away from technologies, use your senses, feed your senses, get some essential oils, find some natural, the trees, textures, earth, all of these things. And when you make contact through your senses, a conscious contact through your senses, you will see that your need for technology disappears. Maybe it doesn't disappear completely, but your running to it is much lower. And that's a practice that you do. So start. You want to try, you don't know how to do it. Well, buy 3, 4, 5 oils and then work with them. Work with them. Work with your senses. That is the key.
Sometimes I think that the technology is just a distraction from our senses.
That's why I'm saying that.
So, Matthew, we could talk about this stuff for hours, but I know that not everybody's got the capacity to listen to a podcast for hours and hours. But needless to say, there's more that we can talk about. But is there anything that we haven't talked about that you think is important to cover?
Listen, as you say, I think we can talk about this for hours. And all we do here, and I'm happy to do with you, is to open the door for people. There's definitely things that we can tackle, but I don't think we should move forward with too much of information for people. We gave them so much to think about. So the best thing, if we can just leave them on something, is the senses. Remember your senses. Remember, you are the key. No one out there is going to give you a key. No one out there is going to show you exactly where the door is. You have to find it for yourself. But just know that there are people out there like you, like us, like Christy, are there for that, to help guide you. And so, yeah.
Well, and I would add that anybody listening, you are the boss, applesauce. You're the one who gets to decide what technology you use, how you interact with it, what your ringtone is. My goodness, that's an excellent point. You don't want to be causing yourself stress with something that's in your pocket every day. So I would like to plug your social media and this wonderful website. Would you give the URL again for this website that you've built?
Of course. So the landing page is ad-anima.com, and our platform is on app.ad-anima.com. But you can find all of that on our social media, on ad-anima on Instagram. And my Instagram is Mathieu François, MathieuFrancoiss.
Extra S for super.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
And you're on LinkedIn as well, Mathieu François Panagol. Yes. One.
Yes.
Okay, we'll put all these pertinent links within the show notes. Thank you so much for joining me today, Mathieu. It's wonderful to visit Paris just briefly through you today.
I'm breathing Paris through you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It was a pleasure, and I can't wait for our next conversation.
Yes. Me too. All right. Be well.
Radiate Wellness is an international community of holistic and alternative healers dedicated to helping you create spiritual, energetic, and physical well-being. To learn more about our practitioners, services, classes, and events, or to schedule an appointment, visit us at radiatewellnesscommunity.com.
We spend a third of our lives sleeping and dreaming, yet most of us have no idea what goes on during that time. I'm Kelly Sullivan Walden, and as a dream expert and best-selling author, I'm here to empower you to mine the gold from your nighttime dreams. Join me on the Kelly Sullivan Walden Show, part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network, available wherever you get your podcasts. Until we meet again, don't take your dreams lying down.